Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Anzac Day, which of course is tomorrow. It's a big day on the Australian calendar. I don't think there's a more solemn day that's revered as a time to commemorate all the great work the men and women of this country and the sacrifices that are made and the families attached have done. What will you be doing, MG?
Mickey, I'll be gearing up for the dawn service in Penrith at Memory Park, 4:30 a.m. My grandfather, who was great, Keith Colpin, he served in World War II, and I kind of, from an early age, when I used to go up to his house along at Central Coast, used to see pictures of him in his army gear around the house, and it wasn't until I was a little bit older I realised just how big an impact
that was all about.
Him and mates like him had on our future. Yeah, it was an enormous day, as you said. And even when I played rugby league, Mickey, it was. I read somewhere this morning, one of our counterparts, our Brisbane Triple M Mardo, who I love Mardo.
I know Mardo.
He's kind of said that the last post is being a little bit diluted because we played at every sporting event, both AFL and NRL. Well, I kind of disagree. I think that every crowd who hears the last post will walk away from it being enriched. I think it's one of them things that only happens once a year, and every time I hear it, I get goosebumps. And I
agree with you.
For us.
It's a big day for the Bugler. Bring your A game. There's so many. I'm going to take my boys to the... I'm going to go back to Melbourne and take my boys to the Anzac Eve.
Awesome.
MCG, spectacular. It'll be the first time they get to see it. It's a very moving ceremony when the lights are out at the MCG and you see the flame going around and they light a cauldron, and it's very moving. So that'll be it. I've had some great moments with Diggers and those who've defended our shores. I've done shows in TK, Tarancout, Kandahar, Kabul. Kaga was one of my favourites. We did... Kaga was a purely English-Australian base. So some bases, like Tarancout, is American-Australian, but Kaga was English-Australian. And I remember we had to drive through Kabul, which is a pretty a nerve-wracking experience, to get to this location where we performed on the back of a truck in a snowstorm at midnight.
Wow.
And it was freezing conditions, but also... I had, during the course of performing there, England had been knocked out of the World Cup by Bangladesh. So I had the great pleasure of coming out on stage and going, by the way, guys, just want you to know, you may have invented the game, but you've just been knocked out of the World Cup by Bangladesh. Now, half the crowd went mad, the Aussies, and the other half went very quiet, and the whole night ended up with us having an Ashes test match inside the barracks that went on till about 3 a.m. So
amazing.
There's so many opportunities to celebrate our great military service over so many years. And get the kids involved. There's a bit of stuff going on around Sydney. What do we need to know?
There is, in Martin Place, of course, there is the service at the Cenotaph. If you've ever been there, it's an incredibly moving ceremony. And then, of course, there's the Anzac March through Sydney CBD. If you want to get involved in your local community, contact your local RSL or go to their website on what services are being held in your local community. For two up, which, of course, we can still we can still use cash,
not
credit cards. There's Greater at the Glenmore in the Rocks, the Dolphin Hotel in Surrey Hills, the Albion Hotel in Western Sydney, and Wallara Hotel. So check out all those details, and lest we forget.
In 1915, a fleet of Australian soldiers left our shores en route to a strange foreign land.
They went with songs to the battle.
How young we were, and strong heart.
Setting sail into the unknown, fueled by adrenaline, and with courage and adventure in their hearts.
There's a real camaraderie there, I can tell you.
So many never return.
They truly are heroes.
The Anzac spirit is what this is about.
As generations go by...
It is spiritual.
It's important as Australians we continue to pause...
We are the caretakers of their memories.
...and remember...
This is a very important day on the Australian calendar. I can't think of one that resonates more No. Around this country right now. It's a very important occasion. And to talk us through what it means and how we can commemorate it is the director of the Australian War Memorial. It's Matt Anderson. How are you, Matt?
Hey, Matty.
G'day, Mick. Really, really well.
Thank you for your time today on this Anzac Eve. Tell us, what is the best way? Obviously, and I should point out, I'd like to mention this right now, Triple M will be taking the Canberra Dawn service between 5:30 a.m. and 6:05 a.m. and then we'll be playing Soldier On Special, which I recorded some time ago. How can families best get together and commemorate this important occasion?
Well, look, Mick, I think the most important thing people can do is do something that's meaningful. You know, I think the idea of gathering in numbers is really, really powerful, whether it's at the Shrine in Melbourne or Hyde Park in Sydney or, of course, here at the Memorial. The idea of commemorating in the company of others is very, very meaningful, very, very moving. You know, the idea of just, I say to my own kids that you know, I don't care what you do at on Anzac Day Dawn service, so long as you get up and you pause and you take a moment, whether you do it at your front gate, whether you do it on your porch,
yep,
whether you turn on the telly or the radio, but just, you know, take time out of our pretty hectic lives and just remind ourselves that even today, you know, on Anzac Day morning, as we gather and we think about the footy and everything else, there are young men and women who are deployed as far away as the Middle East and the Gulf and South Sudan who have put themselves in harm's way. And here at the memorial, mate, we talk about the fact there's 103,000 names on our roll of honour of people who never came home.
Yes.
And so just think about them. You know, find out who in your family might have served and give thanks for that.
And if you can pass on stories to children, it's such a great thing to do because they're all ears in this department. I've had the good fortune to be able to go over and entertain our troops in theatres of war in Afghanistan, in Africa, and I've got more out of the experience than anything else I've ever done. And I always make this statement when I come home: if people saw the way our men and women conduct themselves in these theatres of war and how they represent our country, you would be so proud. They do such a good job, and they are so well respected on the world stage. It's moving to see firsthand. So what I also like, Matt, too, is, and this happened during COVID when people couldn't go to Dawn services, through necessity they and isolation, they had to kind of make up their own ways of honouring servicemen and women. And they did this basically by having ceremonies in their driveways or in their backyards. And this is a great tradition that should continue, am I right?
That's right, Mick. I mean, I've had a number of kids in particular come through the memorial in the last couple of years who now know how to play the last post on their, you know, their trumpet or their violin or even their harmonica, because they were the ones who stood out on their at their letterbox and played the last post at dawn. But it did a couple of things. It not only taught them how to play the last post, but they looked to their right and their left up the street and they suddenly noticed a neighbour who they might have paid no attention to before, standing at their letterbox wearing, you know, their medals. And suddenly that person's a service personnel. And it completely changed the community, the sense of community, and that sense of acknowledgement. But, Mick, while I have you, mate, I need to say that I had the honour of being in Afghanistan in 2015 when you came through. And do not discount the impact that you had. You know, you very kindly note the servicemen and women who you're performing for, but the shot in the arm that you gave them to bring a bit of Australia to Afghanistan in that case, it was great tribute to you and all of the entertaining troupe who came out, because it was a real morale boost.
Good.
Well, thank you, Matt. That's very kind words indeed. And what I want to do is take this opportunity to, as a Canberra boy, as I call myself, Matt, one of Canberra's favourite sons, I had the great privilege of growing up as a boy around the War Memorial in Canberra. And I recently sent my boys there on a school excursion. And I just want to take this moment to say, if you ever get the chance to take a young boy or a young girl to the War Memorial, it is one of the most extraordinary days. It's full of history. It will expand their minds in ways, and they'll come back with a whole heap of questions. It's something I think everyone should put on their agenda at some stage. Doesn't have to be Anzac Day. It could be any time of the year. But you'll come away kind of changed and enriched by the experience.
I know in my rugby league career, listening to the last post just before you go to kick off is the most emotional thing that's ever happened to me in my rugby league career. And I think that this weekend, as we listen to all the last posts and we resonate with people who we know and loved ones we've lost overseas, it's one of them times where we just celebrate how good we are as a country in recognising this. I think we're getting better and better, Matty, by the year.
I think that's right. We're also, to the best of my knowledge, the only place that really genuinely stops, gets up at dawn and gives thanks for people who landed at, sort of Gallipoli 109 years ago and everyone since. And it's a very, very powerful thing. And it's what genuinely one of the great things about Australia is the fact that we do this and we continue to do this. And long may that be the case.
Hear, hear, and well said. Thanks for your time this morning, Matt Anderson.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers, good on you, Matty.
And if you are paying your respects from home, Triple M will be taking the Canberra Dawn service between 5:30 and 6:05 a.m., followed by Mix Soldier on Special between 6 and 7.
MG Sport Report.
Yeah, a bit of an announcement yesterday out of the blue when Sharkies forward Dale Finucane yesterday announced his medical retirement from rugby league. He's played 251 first-grade games across stints at the Bulldogs, the Storm and the Sharkies. He's won two premierships with the Storm and represented New South Wales on five occasions. Mick, this is one of them guys who came from the Melbourne Storm, Dale Finucane, one of them guys who Melbourne just got so much out of. He went there as just a first-grader. He came away a rep player and a grand final winner. And he's the reason, I think, at the moment the Sharks sit where they do, because he, along with Nicho Hynes, brought a culture that the Storm kind of harness, and he brought it to the Sharkies, and hence the Sharkies are now sitting on top of the table. And I think a lot of that has to go towards Dale Finucane's attitude towards off-field training, game day management, all that type of stuff. And here's how he announced it yesterday in shock horror. A baby almost interrupted his speech.
There was no decision to be made. The medical advice was that I retire and I don't continue to play. And obviously that was from the two independent medical experts. I'm obviously extremely disappointed about it, but I'm also excited about the next part of life as well.
Well, there it is. Yes, that baby's getting around at the moment. That's high praise from you, by the way. That's very nice things to say about someone, not even about what they do on the field, but what they bring to a club and how they change a culture. So I'm sure they'll be enjoying that. Did you? No one saw this coming?
No. I suppose he's had a few head knocks, and he's out at the moment with a fracture in his face. And I suppose he got some medical advice that the next head knock mightn't be a real good one for you. So he said straight away at the age of 32, that's enough for me. Put the cue in the rack. Right. Life's too short to be worrying about CTEs.
Good call. Gutsy call. Well played. Family, friends, and healthy life comes first always. All right. Thank you, mate.
In the criminal justice system, marriage-based offences are considered especially heinous. One judge, the Honourable Mick Molloy, rules over such cases. These are his stories.
You maybe don't use a toothbrush.
Okay. I don't know if he's playing up or what he's doing.
Give her a garbage bag full of her toner. This is it. Advice, hard, firm advice that will get you out of marital strife. If you're going to take marriage advice, take it from a middle-aged alcoholic who's never been married. That's all I'm going to say. Coming off a bit of strife myself, things aren't good at home right now. I'm not going to lie to you. The pillow thief has been in action again. So my girlfriend, we're missing a pillow. Yeah. No one seems to be able to track it down. So we're now going to bed with three pillows, and in the middle of the night, I just get short-sheeted. I could be sleeping on a pillow. I woke up the other day. I said, you know that magician's trick where they rip the tablecloth out, leaving everything standing? Yes. That's what happened. I went, I felt it. I went, what the hell? Now all of a sudden my head is on the mattress.
Aww.
Anyway, I've been doing a bit of couch sleeping and will continue to do so until I get my way. Now, a friend of mine, who I won't name, a well-known comedy writer, works on a lot of my programs.
Oh, no, I know who you're talking about.
Well, I went and saw him the other day. He goes, well, mate, I'm huge fight with the missus. I go, well, this does no good. Is it bad? He said, I don't know if we'll get over this.
Ooh.
I said, all right, do you want to talk about it or not? He goes, yeah, I will. He goes, The other day, when she was hanging my washing, she hung my T-shirts with a plastic coat hanger instead of a wooden one.
Oh, no. No.
Please tell me you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Oh. I went, you might want to go and apologise to her. Right.
What?
And apparently he pulled the coat hanger out and threw it on the floor and stormed off. Oh, and hasn't worn the T-shirt since.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if I can look at him the same anymore. If it's
he needs to apologise. The fact that she's hanging out, he's washing to start with.
Mm. I would have thought would have put you out in front.
Wow.
But he goes, mind you, this is the same guy who had a go at me when I gave him directions and we ended up on a gravel road while he was driving his Saab. So... He's high maintenance.
Oh,
but you see the idea? This is what we're talking about. Little issues that come up in a relationship that I can help you with. Is your girlfriend a pillow thief? Is she hanging out your T-shirts with a plastic hanger? 133353, I can help. Tash, how are you going at home? You're good?
Yeah, good. Look, a friend of mine, when she's talking, sometimes that partner doesn't listen.
Does your friend's name is the name rhyme with Natasha?
Okay. Rebecca Belling?
Yeah, so I'll give you a good example. The other night, this friend of mine was out to dinner and was talking about something very serious and looked over to their partner who was closing his eyes and they thought, oh, finally they're listening, they're very upset. And then that person asked the partner, is everything all right? This duck is amazing, was the response. He was talking about... how good the food was rather than the very confronting revelation.
So what did you do to Glenn when he did that?
Told him to do his own washing.
This is what I can help you with. I will adjudicate 133353. Are you having trouble at home? What's the beef? Alex is on the line. Alex, you're having trouble at home? What's going on?
Yeah, morning, lads and ladies. My missus gets up me when I breathe sometimes.
When you breathe? What do you mean?
I don't know. I was like, you know, if I'm a bit tired of the day, breathing, I'm a bit laboured, or, you know, just a bit of a wheeze out of the nose. I mean, it's not like I'm dying or anything. I'm just like, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Seems a bit harsh. You know? Right, are you a mouth breather?
No, I'm not. Not, you know, not that low on the IQ, but I was just like, you know. And she goes, she just says to me, oi, breathing. And I go, oh, heaven forbid, you know.
Oi, breathing like it's a luxury.
Yeah.
Not like you're stealing all the oxygen.
Yeah, apparently. She'll sleep with the fan on just to sort of drown me out. I'm like, oh, well.
So you still sleep in the same bed together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dog acts as a buffer, so.
You know. Oh,
yeah. Do you ever have good breathing? Nice. Does she ever compliment you when you go, well, that's nice, soft breathing?
Oh, no, it's just that's me living properly.
Is there any? Has she? I don't know. Does she breathe loudly herself, or?
I don't pay attention to silly things.
All right, Alex, stay on the line. I'm not sure if I don't know quite how to help you there. You kind of got to breathe.
Just quiet.
I don't know what you can do about that. Let's, I don't know. All right, Cameron's on the line. Cameron, what have you got?
G'day.
What's wrong?
G'day,
what's wrong?
I've got my missus who, we've got four hooks in our bathroom, and she likes to use two of them as a display towel without letting me know. And of a morning, I get up and have a shower, and apparently every single time I use a display towel, and I get about 10 missed calls every freaking morning.
All right. So we've got a bad line here, but from what I can ascertain is that... your missus puts out display towels in the bathroom and then gets upset if you use them? Am I right?
Yeah, she goes ballistic and then after every time I use them, she goes out and buys all new display towels. So I'm just doing
I've got
you can't have a display towel. If I see a towel in a bathroom, that's game on. Here's when I get in trouble, when the white towels come out and... Let's just say I put him back with a couple of bullet holes.
Oh, stop. Display towels is true.
Yeah,
I've
got
display.
You'd have display towels, wouldn't you?
And they're only put out for special guests.
And when do you put them out?
You put them out for special guests and they look fresh and clean. But you do not use them.
No, no, no. Only guests do, to come over and go, what lovely towels you have. They wipe their hands and then they go away.
How do you know if it's a display towel or not?
Well, you should know the nice towels for the mediocre towels that you use everyday towels.
And I only have nice soap for guests.
When we do is, what do you mean? You put the good soap out.
I put the good soap out for the guests.
Yep.
You're an elitist. God. You are an elitist.
Do you hide all your medicine in the medicine cabinet?
I do with a lock.
It's in a shoebox.
You probably take some right now. Cameron, that's not on. Do you know what to do? Grab one of those display towels, wind it up, and give her one right in the bot pot. There, I've ruled. And another nail in the coffin of old school banking that really grinds our gears on the program. What's happened, Tash?
Yeah, ANZ has announced it will stop issuing checkbooks by June because of a decline in usage.
So this is the end of it. This is last call for the checkbook. Is there only one bank, I believe, Westpac, are the only bank that still issues checkbooks. Otherwise, you cannot get or cash a check in this country, correct?
Other banks, including CBA, NAB, Macquarie and Bendigo, have already started phasing out checks. Now, the ANZ said only 160,000 of its 4.6 million customers use checks. That's still 160,000 people.
Yes. It's still a service you should be providing. I mean, we've been using cheques since we were little boys. Do you remember the first cheque you forged, MJ?
Well, I remember we used to get taught in commerce how to write a proper cheque, you know, and used to write in, obviously, the numbers in words. And then Mum and Dad had a cheque book. And for the first time, I remember the first time I went to their cheque book and tried to do Mum's signature and got for 40 bucks and got some good gear out of it.
Well, that was a rite of passage to forge a check.
No, it wasn't.
I think you guys are delinquents.
Yeah, correct.
No.
I think we are too.
What about the giant check? Is this the end of the novelty giant check? Remember, Tony Gregg used to hand out at the end of every game. Here's $40,000 to the winner. I always wondered where the checkbook is that all those checks come from.
It's a massive checkbook.
Imagine all the check butts from that checkbook.
Oh,
that
huge.
Would be good. I remember, this is a true story, that I think Lindsay Fox and Kerry Packer had a bet once that Kerry Packer lost for $1 million. He wrote out a check for $1 million and Lindsay Fox kept it on his fridge, never cashed it, but just used to keep it pinned to his fridge. I always imagine just walking in there and going, "Ewink!"
Yeah, correct.
you know when this all started? You know when the demise was? When they stopped putting pens on chains in banks.
Yep.
Oh, remember the old, and you'd go in and there'd be, I better write this out or I better fill out, and then there'd be a pen attached to a chain so you couldn't steal it.
Loved it.
That was the beginning of the end, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Terrible stuff, terrible stuff. Anyway, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. Stupid.
So what about the other Pink Floyd song, which starts with all the money and stuff? What's that going to turn
into? That's true. It has a check ripping up sound effect. So this is null and void now. That little shh.
That's gone.
Kids today have no idea what's going on here.
No.
What's that? What's that? Is that cash? What? Checks? Forget about it.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the
f***? WTF?
What do you got, MJ?
I've got a Brazilian grandmother prayed to a figurine of St. Anthony for 10 years, only to discover it was an action figure of Elf Lord Eldron from The Lord of the Rings.
What the f***?
Hugo Weaving. She's praying to Hugo Weaving for 10 years.
Well, I've mentioned it before, but everyone went to the Outback because there was a big picture of Jesus Christ miraculously appearing on the side of a pub.
That's right.
And it turned out, as it evolved, it was just a billboard for a Willie Nelson concert that was coming soon. You can get it wrong. Well done. Kat, what have you got for us today, please?
A man ran the London Marathon and sampled a wine at each mile mark.
It's London Marathon Day. We're starting with a red, 26 wines, one per mile. Let's go.
What?
It's my type of marathon, baby.
Wow, that's a marathon. I'd run an ultra marathon if that was the case. Run it with a sommelier.
Lily Pilly, come on, baby.
One wine. Yeah, that's right. Lily Pilly could get into the market on this one. That is fantastic. I'd be more impressed if he'd come straight from a nightclub and then run the yeah. marathon. That would have been. You know what they need? Like every 5 or 6 Ks, one station just serving kebabs. That would really help at home. Tash, what have you got, please?
Two teachers have been permanently banned from the profession after changing the pupils' dishes in a cookery class in a bid to improve their grades.
What the f***?
Suckle of blood.
I have no idea what you're talking about. They did what?
Okay. So these two students were in a cooking class.
Yes.
And the teachers changed the dishes to make them better so that their favourite pupils could get higher grades.
Oh, that's...
So they cheated in cooking class.
Correct. Yeah. That's a bit sad. No, you didn't like that one?
Anything you've got to explain in this segment, I think is a... You know?
Go back and get another one?
Well, who was the teacher? Who was the teacher? Was it like Gordon Ramsay or something? I mean, so the teachers are playing with the dishes yes. in cooking class.
They went home and cooked a bit of lasagna and then put it in for the test.
Oh, lasagna. Yes. Okay, now we're talking. Yeah. That makes a difference.
Good chat.
The key to a good lasagna is the bechamel sauce.
It is. Obviously. Absolutely.
All right. Well.
Crispy cheese on top.
Don't go mad. What's your favourite pasta, MJ?
Probably fettuccine, Boschiola.
Fettuccine. Fettuccine's good for carbonara. Beyond yes. that, I'm not that wrapped with it. Although it does hold more and retains more flavour than your normal spaghetti. Bolognese slips off. Yeah. The spaghetti.
Oh, were you the teacher at this class?
Yeah, I know. This is honestly.
I will bring you to my cooking class. You know what I do? This is when people come around and someone else cooks, I just emerge from the kitchen with a tea towel yeah. over one shoulder.
You're welcome.
I don't lie, but people just presume. I just come out and go, okay, we'll be ready in a minute, guys. What the f***? Let's crack into it. Steve, what do you got for us? Blow our minds.
Hey, Mickey, MG, and ladies, how are we?
Good.
What do you got?
Okay, then. Back in the old days in Pirates and you had Cannonball and all the rest of it, you always see on the ship Cannonball stack up little pyramids. Mm. What held them in place was a little brass ring called a monkey. When it used to get cold, the brass ring would shrink. Cannonballs would fall off, hence we come with the term, freeze the balls off a brass monkey.
What the f***?
Oh, my goodness.
Well done, Steve. Well researched and a great cannonball fact. Oh. Can I give you another one? They're one of the widely attributed origins of lawn bowls comes from sailors at sea who were bored rolling cannonballs along the deck, a shifting deck, and having to hit a topic. So they had to allow for a bias. So these days, yep. the bowl itself has the bias, but in the old days it was the deck. So they would roll a cannonball down the deck and try and hit an object and anticipate the curvature of... the ocean. Thank you, Mick.
That's
$500.
$500 for you, mate.
Well done, Steve. Cameron, what have you got for us, mate?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. With Anzac Day approaching tomorrow, the buglers, everyone who plays the bugle tomorrow, they won't be brushing their teeth.
Oh, that's
got something to do with the seal of their lips on the end of the bugle.
Wow.
Can I say something, in all honesty? I have the same principles I apply to humdinger. I don't brush my teeth before I humding because it helps the hum, not the ding.
Which, but by the way, is up to $1,000 today at 9 o'clock.
Is it?
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't brush my teeth.
I reckon, go do the mouthwash.
All right,
I'll be calling back for that one.
Yes.
What am I getting? Am I getting thumbs up? Oh, I'm not getting thumbs up on that.
We're getting a bit of a so-so.
Conjecture. Yeah.
It's a big day for the bugler. That's all I'm saying tomorrow. Bring your A game. We'll get back to you, Cameron. Edgy's on the line. Edgy, what do you got?
Hey, good morning. A Belgian man was acquitted of a drink driving charge in court after he proved he had a rare metabolic condition called auto-brewery syndrome, which means that carbohydrates in his stomach fermented, increasing ethanol levels in his blood, resulting in signs of intoxication. He's one of only 20 people in the world to have the condition.
Hey, maybe 21.
You're saying he's producing his own beer?
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the king on legs. He's
wow.
He, imagine that. What a rare skill would that be? Yeah, if you've ever smelt me on Monday morning, that's what's happening, people. It's a medical
condition.
Oh, man, that is incredible. You know, my body produces Negroni.
I can believe that.
No, I do have. I'm one of the few people on the face of the planet who has this medical condition, and I did get off a similar charge.
Good evening, Mr. Malloy. Blow into this, please.
That's what the vicar said to the nun.
Please, Mr. Malloy, this is serious.
Oh, sorry.
One big blow, please.
That's what he also said. okay.
Okay, that's a reading of 0.12. You've obviously been drinking.
No, officer. My body makes alcohol.
No, it doesn't, Mr. Malloy.
Yeah, it's called auto-brewery syndrome.
I'm not buying it, Mr. Malloy.
Well, I mean, I do have a brewery and somebody there automatically makes the beer for me.
Please step out of the car.
Case of Jetty Road? You can have the lager or the draft.
Oh, and that's not a bribe, but that's me producing my own alcohol. Edgy, $100 for you.
Yay. Well done. Beautiful. Thank you.
Here we go again. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees have been announced, and not surprises. Of course, you know you have to be 25 years in the business before you're eligible. And those nominated, Cher, Ozzy Osbourne. Cher sneaks in by, she's been in business for 125 years. This is her 10th nomination. Cher, Ozzy Osbourne, A Tribe Called Quest, and Mary J. Blige. Can we have a listen to some of their work, of course? Coming up. Cher, also famous for straddling a cannon. Mary J. Blige, great song. It's about time. And, of course, the great man himself.
Ozzy Osbourne.
We all happy with those?
Yeah, very happy.
Yeah, it's changed a bit, hasn't it? Because it used to be very rock, and then they introduced sort of more pop artists as the years went on.
Mm. Well, since there's been no great rock bands of the last 30 years, they're very thin on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't they? So they'll be very thin to get. Well, these guys have been inducted.
They're in it. Yep, they got inducted. Was it last year, I think, or the year before?
You'd hope so.
Yeah, they're in there.
MG Sport Report.
Yeah, tonight another massive fighter fighting. No Limit Boxing bring you Nikita Zhu against Danilo Creati tonight, 7 p.m. on Main Event. Of course, it's going to be a massive fight. Every time one of the Zhu boys fight is massive. There's a lot of
saving boxing.
Around.
Saving boxing in Australia, single-handedly, I reckon, at the moment. Really they are the business.
Yeah. And all the mystery about 3 rounds, he's a really quirky character, is Nikita. He struggled to make weight yesterday. He was a bit withdrawn. But I think the main thing is what he's going to be walking out to. His songs in the past have been something like this.
Yes, we all remember that one. Beauty. Yes, that was his last fight, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one before that was this one.
Yes. He never disappoints in that department, does he? He's always up to something, and he told us yesterday. What did he say yesterday?
Well, yesterday...
Have you picked your entrance music for this Wednesday night?
Yes, I actually have. I don't know if it's gotten approved yet by Model. It's like a rock classic.
Ooh.
A rock classic.
What do you want to see him get to?
Oh, well, I always liked the one Homer Simpson came out to when he took up boxing. Oh, it's just kind of get in your opponent's kitchen a bit would always be good, and something he could pull off. What about you?
Oh, look, a bit of Aussie rock, a bit of TISM, Greg the Stop Sign. Greg the Stop
Sign. I see him come out to Greg the Stop Sign.
Wow.
All right, that'll get your opponent's attention. Kat, anything for you?
Is it controversial if he uses another boxer for his entry song? I don't want
to live. Oh, Manny Pacquiao. Nothing's gonna change my life. That would be great. Well, all will be revealed tonight, and as always, he won't let us down. Have a look at the fight. He's one of our best in the business.
Mick and MG in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.